I want to say to you in Jesus' name, from my own experience for more than 50 years, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. And I promise you, everything that you need will be added to you. You won't have to ask for it. You won't have to fight for it. Just fight for your right to possess what Jesus has purchased on the cross. And the judge said, no, I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you. But she kept on coming. That is the meaning of prayer always. I keep on going to the Lord. Say, Lord, I haven't yet got there. I haven't yet got there. I haven't got all my property back. There's still some more left. There's still about 25% left. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want 100% of what Jesus purchased for me on the cross. I hope there'll be a few people like that here. I tell you, you'll be amazed to see what God can accomplish through you. Even if you're a sister, even if you're weak, helpless like that widow. I don't think there's a single widow sitting here who is as helpless as this one. If you're a widow, there are many people in this church who are ready to help you. This widow had nobody. She was more helpless than the most helpless person sitting here, and she accomplished. She got what she wanted. And that's what Jesus is saying. God will bring, verse 7, justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night. There again, we see what prayer is like. It's breathing. You breathe day and night. And there is a prayer. You can't keep on crying day and night. What does He mean? He means there's an attitude in your heart that's always seeking the Lord, saying, I'm not going to give one inch to the devil. Think of some of your children who are not wholeheartedly following the Lord. What are you doing about it? Are you giving some territory to the devil? No. Say, Lord, I will not give one inch to the devil. Not even one inch of my children. The area of my children. Not even one inch to the devil. Do it like that. I mean, I pray like that for my grandchildren now. So we have a responsibility to cry to God day and night. We cannot pray for the whole world. We cannot pray for all of India. Some people say, pray for India. I don't do that. See, John 17 and verse 9, Jesus said, I do not pray for the world. People ask me, why don't you pray for India? I don't pray for India. I don't pray for Karnataka. I don't pray for the world. I follow Jesus. But I pray for those whom God has chosen. Lord, are there people whom You have called who have not yet found You? I want to find them. People who should become disciples. I want to find them. He says, I pray for those whom You have given Me. And I believe there are people whom God has chosen, whom God wants to draw to Himself in India, in other countries. I say, Lord, bring them in. Bring them in. We want them. Hey, brother, this is what we prayed for 40 years. Lord, is there anybody seeking a godly life here? Please bring them to us or bring us to them. That's what we've always prayed. We base it on John 17:9. All these people who say, oh Lord, I pray for Karnataka. What are they praying? Just a very pious prayer that makes them look very spiritual. Garbage. They're trying to be more spiritual than Jesus. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. So I'm only looking, I'm praying for those who want to be disciples. Lord, I want to find them. We need to pray, but we need to pray for those who want to be disciples and that God will bring them to us. Not all those who want to go to heaven. They can go some other churches. But we're called to make disciples. So these are things we pray for, that whatever the enemy has taken, we want to possess back. And those who are under the grip of the devil right now, since Satan has been bound, that we can take his property from him. That we need to pray. And so when we come together, the reason why we pray together is because Jesus said there is more power in two people praying than in one person praying. Matthew 18 and verse 20, He said, if two or three are gathered in My name, I am in the midst. So that's why we come together to pray. There's a power in praying together. You know, I find that it's easy to pray just alone, even if there are other believers around. In my mind, for example, If I'm alone praying, that's good. But when there are other believers just sitting there and I pray in my mind, it's much easier. Because the presence of Jesus, listen to this, the presence of Jesus is more there when there are two people who are agreed. It says in verse 19, they must be agreed. That means they are not in conflict. If you and your wife are in conflict, then Jesus is not there. I might as well tell you, He's not there. You can put a board there saying, Christ is the head of this house. He's not there. Because the two people living in that house are not in agreement. And that's what the devil is interested in. So when we come together, we want to, at least from your heart, make sure your heart is clear and open towards everybody sitting here. And then we can spend a little time in prayer. We can pray for personal needs. We can pray for church needs. We can pray for the country. We can pray for the coming elections here in Karnataka and in the rest of the country later on. We can pray for the direction things are going. And especially, we want to pray that those who are seeking for a godly life will come here. And we also pray that the hypocrites sitting in CFC will get exposed one way or the other and will be driven out one way or the other. That also we pray for. Lord, bring in those who are seeking for a godly life and expose one way or the other, expose the hypocrites who are sitting here, and so that they don't pollute the atmosphere and drive them out. Send them away. That is God's will. He gathers and He sends away. Isn't that a good prayer to pray? We are praying according to Scripture in the book of Zephaniah in the Old Testament. Zephaniah is almost towards the end of the Old Testament. Two or three books from the end of the Old Testament is Zephaniah. And in Zephaniah chapter 3, this is what the Lord says. In Zephaniah chapter 3, in verse 11, in the middle of that verse, the Lord says, I will remove from your midst all the proud, boastful people. And in my church, no one will be proud and haughty. But when they are removed, then I will leave among you a humble, lowly people who trust in the Lord. That is the prayer I pray. Lord Jesus, according to your word, remove from our midst those who are proud, those who exalt themselves, those who are critical of others and backbiting. Remove them and leave among us a humble, lowly people who are leaning upon the Lord. Verse 13, who will do no wrong, who will tell no lies. Yeah, Lord, those are the people we want. Because then we can say, the Lord is in our midst. Verse 15, middle. The Lord is in your midst. Again in verse 17, the Lord is in your midst. He will exult over you with joy. It's the same thing we read in Matthew 18:20. When the Lord, why do we want the Lord to remove the proud and leave the humble? So that the Lord can be in our midst. The church is going through a constant purification. There are people who come, the Lord cleanses, and some are removed. And some still are not yet removed. God will remove them. And some have not yet come, who need to come. So, there'll always be that. That's why we say we welcome those who come, but they get sifted here, they get examined, and some people get offended and go, and others remain. God is the one who does the sifting. But ultimately there will be a strong church that fulfills God's purposes. So that is the direction in which we pray. So that's a good thing to pray like that for our personal life and for our home, for our children and for our church and then for the country as well.